Excellent job, always is. Let's thank the band. Hey, it is baptism weekend. I don't know if anybody's excited about that. I'm really excited about that. And my name's Kurt, by the way. If you're a guest here this morning, really excited that you've chosen to join us. And I'm what they call a pastor here at Cross Point. And we're excited about what's going to take place today. And listen, I'm looking out, and you guys look nice today. I'm telling you what, it's almost like it's a holiday or something. I mean, I'm seeing nice clothes, and you're looking all sharp, and women are all like dressed up. I mean, man. And some of you are going to get wet today. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. So today, you know, we're going to be taking a look at how kind of recognizing that there's a power that's been present in individuals' lives. And the name of that power is Jesus. And Jesus has actually been changing people. And this is something that's been going on all the way back to when the movement of Jesus began. And what's going to be taking place in the water here today is something that's taken place all the way back again since the movement of Jesus began, where people began to kind of declare themselves through water that they are connected with Jesus. And what they're really saying is that Jesus is who he says he is, and that, you know, that they're surrendering their lives to him, that they've come into relationship with him. And this is a celebration of something they've already done, all right? So this is a reflection of something that's already began to take place in them. So today, to help us kind of get an understanding of baptism, I want to kind of walk some things out so we have a really good understanding of what this experience is. There's a movie I saw a number of years ago that I think gives a great theological framework for helping us begin to understand this better. So take a look at the screens here.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you...
Oh, man, we thought about doing baptism that way. We thought, man, that would be a lot of fun. Woo! And then, you know, we thought, well, there's a little better way that we might do that today. So, you know, we're not going to be smashing any faces in the water, but there are people that are going to come and get wet today and that are going to get into the waters to be baptized. And, you know, water is an interesting thing because water is kind of this, it represents something that's going on in the bigger story that we find ourselves in. It's God's story. It's what God's doing in the world. And I think one of the reasons that water is used as kind of an illustration so many times throughout the Bible is because water is a cleansing agent. It cleanses. Water is something that washes over us. It sweeps over us. It covers us. But water also represents redemption. In fact, one time Jesus was at a well. He was interacting with a woman who was at a well. And in that particular climate, in that first century climate, to even acknowledge that there's a well of water, a cistern of water, that she's pulling water up and out of, was recognizing that there is a place that is literally a source of life. Because water is a source of life. And so in that first century culture, to have a well, you understood that I need to be close to that well because it gives me life. And so Jesus is at that well, and he's talking to this woman, and he begins to tie in with her the significance of water and what his role is in the world through that. In fact, here's a part of that interaction in John chapter 4. It says, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So we see Jesus here, he's describing this story that we all find ourselves in. He's basically saying, hey, everything you experience, everything you see, the water, the air that you're breathing, these are all things that the Creator has made. You know, the things that sustain you, the things that bring you life, all come from the Creator. At the same time, the Creator created you and I in his divine image. We're divine image bearers of the Creator. And so the Creator created us not just to exist, not just to get through life, but he created us to actually enjoy life, to live in this unfettered relationship with others as well as this unfettered relationship with God. And so, you know, this story that starts off in this way eventually takes this tragic turn as men and women decide to walk away and to leave the source of life, the source, this place that gives life. And we see this in the Bible in Adam and Eve in this moment where they choose to move away or to do things against God. Now, you know, the significance of what took place there wasn't in the apple, all right? It wasn't in the fruit. The significance was the choice they made to find life by separating themselves from the source of life. And so in that act, you know, the serpent was tempting them. There was a serpent saying, hey, you know, if you only knew what else was out there, if you only knew what would happen apart from God, you would get knowledge. And so they were tempted with this awareness that, hey, God's holding out on you. If you move away from the source of life, then you will find what it really means to have life. So they rebelled. They actually began to move away. They disconnected. They broke, in a sense, away from the source of life. And we can judge them. We can sit here and be like, man, why did they do that? I mean, life sucks today for me because we're on this downline of Adam and Eve. We can do that. You know, we can look at the story and say, well, you know, I don't even know if that story is true or not. But the fact of the matter is, every single one of us have had moments in our life where we've chose to walk away from the source of life. You know, if we were to sit down sometime this week, you and I, whether we know each other or not, if we were to have a cup of coffee or go out and have a drink or something, and we begin to share our life, you know, in that context of beginning to say, hey, here, you know, here's a little bit of my story. You begin sharing a little bit of your story. Somewhere along the line in there, likely it would begin to come up some of the things in our lives that we have gone after to quench our thirst. You know, whether it was going to the well of power, thinking, man, if I just had power and authority, my life would be fulfilled. My thirst would be quenched. Or if it was the well of sex, or if it was the well of controlling things and trying to always figure out exactly how things are going to go, you know, and only to find that when we go to that well, at the end of the day, we wake up and we're still thirsty. And so we all feel this pain. We all know what it's like to be on the broken side of being disconnected from the source of life. And so this is the story that Jesus is telling this woman at this well, around this cistern, this well of water. And basically what he's saying to her is we need the source of life. We can't live without the source of life, but the problem is we can't get back to it on our own. That's why the song the band played a few minutes ago is so significant. You know, use somebody. Because we could all use somebody. There's certain times in life, as we've been looking at through this entire series, where we need somebody outside of ourselves to come and help us get from one place to another place. Because the Bible describes the choices that you and I make where we choose to disconnect from the source to go against God as sin. And it says every time we do that, we disconnect, we go against the will of God or what God designed for us, then we accumulate a debt. And this is a debt that we cannot take care of ourselves. This is a debt that we cannot repay. This is something we can't work off. This is something that we can't even close the gap on. It's not like we can say, well, I'm going to work myself closer to get back into the good graces of the source of life, but we're left in this place where we need a rescue. And this is where the story takes an amazing turn. This is where the story of what God's doing in the world takes an amazing turn. Because, you see, Jesus came, and this is what he's telling this woman. I'm the one that can actually get you back to the source of life. Here's one of the ways it's put in Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of, now listen, this is the best little but you're ever going to see in the scriptures right here, all right? He says, but because of your great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace then that you've been saved. And so, you know, we've been talking over these last 5 weeks, if you've been tracking with us, about, you know, there are times where one of the tools God uses is other people to help us become better versions of ourselves. And that's good, and we can be coached, and we've talked about the value of that, but here's the challenge in this. The challenge is sometimes we think, well, man, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I'm pretty close. I mean, I just need to be pushed a little bit over the top by God. I mean, if he could just give me a little nudge, and I'd be right back here. And the challenge in this, what Paul's talking about here, the challenge is that he says, hey, we're spiritually dead. Every single one of us, we're spiritually dead. There's been a severing. We're spiritually separated and apart from God. But when Jesus comes, what he comes to do is literally as if someone is drowning in a pool of water, he comes and he reaches down and he pulls them up and he rescues them and takes them back to the source of life. This is what Jesus does. You know, sometimes I've heard people, I've even made fun of people. You've probably done it too, where they maybe go to church some weekend and they're like, man, guess what? I went to church. I got saved. If you grew up Baptist, you heard that a lot. All right, I got saved. And, you know, and we make fun of them. Like, I got saved, you know, saved. But, you know, actually, that description is a really good description of what Jesus does for us, because he literally reaches down and saves us. He pulls us out of the things that we're drowning in and takes us back to the source of life where we can experience a fulfilled life. And so see, it's by grace that you're saved, not by baptism. All right, I want to make that really clear today. It's by grace that we've been saved, not by getting into the pool of water. See, these waters today don't save you. These waters don't rescue you. Jesus rescues you, and then as a result of that, we can simply just receive in him and receive his grace. And then as a result of that, we get into the waters. So the question then is, why would somebody get baptized? I mean, what's the point? I mean, if these don't save you, if this doesn't like make me saved, then why would somebody do that? Who are the waters for today? So I want to answer that question a little bit. And one of the ways I want to do that is to kind of walk backwards through that. All right, I want to talk about what the waters are not for today, who the baptism experience is not for this morning. So first of all, baptism is not for people who are still on their journey toward God. All right, if you're on your journey toward God and you're here kind of saying, you know, who is God? Can I really trust that Jesus is who he says he is? Is God the kind of God I can put the weight of my life into? I mean, those are phenomenal questions. I'm glad you're asking those questions. Maybe you're here for the first time today and you've walked in. You know, likely this is not for you. All right, let me tell you what is for you, though. Crosspoint's for you. All right, this experience we're having right here, this is a place that we've intentionally created for you to come and ask those questions. Who is God? Can I come and just see if things begin to connect? See if, you know, maybe some things get revealed and I begin to see who this person Jesus really is. So if you're here this morning, it's your first time with us, or your 10th time with us, and you're in that exploring mode, listen, we're excited you're here. That's what this is for. All right, another thing baptism is not, is it's not for people who think they have to get in the water to earn God's approval. All right? Paul said it's by grace. It's by grace that you've been saved. It's when you believe and receive that you've been saved. So you don't have to get into the water just to earn God's approval. You know, here's another one I hear sometimes. You know, baptism is not a bus ticket to heaven, all right? Sometimes people, I hear that, people are like, man, I got to get baptized, that's my ticket to heaven. It's not, all right? It's, you know, it's not like if I do get in the waters, God's really, really happy with me. If I don't, then he's mad. And sometimes as parents, all right, a word to those of you who are parents, sometimes, you know, parents are like, man, I need to go get my kids out of kids' environments because I need to get them in the water and cover them. I need this water to come over them, because as long as they get wet, then, man, they got their ticket to heaven. You know, it doesn't work that way, all right? And let me just say that there are kids that are going to be stepping into the water today, along with some adults, but this is not their parents saying, let me get them covered so they're good for the rest of their life. This is parents saying, hey, we've talked about this with our kids. Our kids have actually, on their own, made a decision to receive Jesus, to begin to follow him, and they're getting in the water is actually an expression of saying, I'm surrendered. My life is all in with Jesus, regardless of their age. If they've come to that place, that's what our kids that are coming in here today are saying. One of the best analogies that I can think of when it comes to baptism and what it means to get into these waters today is the picture of marriage. And so I remember standing up an aisle just like this 18 years ago, this year, you know, waiting for my wife to come down the aisle. Our day was a little interesting, okay? Our day was a little more unique than other people's day because my wife had broke her ankle 2 weeks before we were married. All right, so she was in a cast, but it wasn't a walking cast. And so the day before we got married, the day of our rehearsal, is when she actually got fitted for a walking cast. So, I mean, she's learning to walk for the first time on a walking cast the day of our rehearsal. And so I can remember standing at the end of that aisle and watching her walk down, and I'm nervous, and I keep watching, and they get done with the wedding march, and they got to play it again because, I mean, she's so slow. I mean, she's like, he's coming, and they get done, you know, with the ending the second time, and they repeat it again. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And finally, she arrives at the front of the sanctuary thing, and you know, and it just like, man, I'm like, I mean, not that I was nervous to start with, but that just made it worse. And then her parents both got to walk her down the aisle, all right, which was pretty cool for them. But the problem was her mom was this tall, and her dad's like this tall. So she's being like dragged down the aisle like this, you know, hobbling as she's going. And one of my buddies after the wedding, he said, man, Kurt, listen, when I was watching this, he said, until the pastor told us that she had broke her ankle, because, you know, you couldn't see it. He's like, I'm thinking, man, this woman does not want to get married. They are dragging her down the aisle. I mean, they're like, you're getting married and out of our house today. And so, you know, I was really glad that distinction was made that, you know, that's why she was literally being dragged down the aisle. Let me just say, the people that are getting into these waters today, they're not being forced to do this. Right? This is on their own free will. This is them saying, hey, this is my next step in my spiritual journey. Another thing I remember, standing in this place waiting for my spouse, I just remember my feet being on fire. I don't know if you ever experienced those moments where, you know, sometimes they say like, man, you know, they say like, let's like light their feet on fire or something like that. I mean, I felt like there was a blowtorch on my feet that day, right? And I learned that I'm not the only one that's experienced that. And one of the things I realized is, you know, when I was standing there waiting to surrender my life to my spouse, that's a really big moment. I mean, marriage is a big deal. And so I'm standing there, and it's a joyful surrender, right? I mean, it's a joyful surrender. It's a joyful way of saying, I'm going to lay down my rights. I'm about ready to lay down my options. I'm about ready to lay down all of the other relationships that I would have, that I could have with someone else, in order to say right here, hey, Julie, I am all in with you for the rest of my life. That's a big deal. I think that's why my feet were on fire. And that's also, I didn't have cold feet, I had hot feet, right? It's also one of the reasons I wear a wedding band. You know, I often make the connection with people. You know, the connection that I make to the wedding band is very similar to what happens in the waters of baptism. For, you know, wedding rings are simply an outward expression of what's taken place inwardly, personally, in my heart. And so I wear a band just to express what I've already decided. And so, you know, anybody can go out and buy a band. I mean, I've known people to do that. You can go to like a thrift mart and buy a cheap band and put it on your finger. It doesn't make you married. But see, the significance of the wedding band is when it's on your finger and it represents something that's already personally taken place in your life. And what's interesting with my band is this, you know, we made this commitment to wear these rings, you know, indefinitely for the rest of our lives, the day we put them on. This ring's only been off my finger twice. One time for a surgery, and I'm not sure why. I've had multiple surgeries, but that's the one that, you know, this had to come off for. And the other time was when I lost it in the Salt River in Phoenix, Arizona, 4 weeks after we got married. And let me just say, Julie was very graceful on this, all right? I mean, she was a trooper on this. But short end of that story was I was with a group of about 35 students on a trip out in Phoenix. We were out there for a convention, and we were rafting in the Salt River. It was like 120 degrees outside. And, you know, they say the heat's hot and dry, but so was an oven, right? They both bake. I mean, we're like on fire, and the Salt River is very, very cold. We're rafting down this river. Kids are so hot, they're getting in the water and just floating down during some of the calm points. And we're getting near the end of our trip, near this place where we actually get out of the water, and we're telling the kids, hey, guys, come on in. You got to get back in the boat. I'm out there floating with them. One other kid named Dennis is way out in front of us. We didn't know Dennis couldn't swim, all right? Now, he has a life vest on, but we're like, Dennis, come on. You got to come back. And he's like, I can. I need you to come get me. So, you know, I'm not a swimmer, man. I start swimming out to get him, and, you know, it's starting to get rough. It's very rough and rapidy around that place where we get out. And finally, I catch on to him, and I grab his life vest, and I just begin trying to make my way back to the side of the shore. Now, I know I'm probably breaking every life-saving strategy. I know you're probably not supposed to do that, but this is what I'm doing. And I'm pulling him. And listen, it's not that dramatic. It's not like he was going to die, all right? He had a life vest. We just didn't want to chase him way down the river. I mean, we didn't want to end up way down the river. So I'm pulling him, and it's all rocky, and I'm grabbing onto rocks to keep my balance, and I get out of the water. And in the midst of that, I lost a flip-flop and my ring somewhere in the river. And so here I am, ringless, that sick-to-your-gut feeling. How am I going to explain this to my wife? Actually, I had a pretty good story. And I had a mile-and-a-half walk back to the vans through the desert with one flip-flop. I mean, it was a miserable 15 minutes. All right, but see, here's the cool thing. When I got back to talk to Julie, here's the thing. My ring was lost, but that didn't not make me married. Right? The ring is just a symbol, an outward symbol of a commitment I'd already made. And here's the other cool thing about that. Even though I had lost my ring, I'd been out in the sun on our honeymoon. We'd been in Phoenix for a week and a half. And so the sun had actually burned and kind of blazed an image of my ring or around my ring on my fingers so it still looked like I had it on. Well, see, today, for those of you who are going to get into these waters, that's kind of what's going to take place. It's like there's going to be a branding on your finger. You're going to receive a wedding ring, if you will. It says, hey, I'm all in. I'm all in with Jesus. And that's a cool thing. And so, you know, when you get into these waters today, listen, that's what this is about. And I tell you what, as I think about the day when I surrendered my life to my wife, when I made these commitments to my spouse, when I gave a number of things up for her, all my options, dating anybody else. Listen, I'll tell you this. I won't tell her, but I'll tell you this morning. When I came to that point of standing there and making these commitments, and I thought about what I was committing to. Again, don't tell her I told you this. I made out beautifully on the deal. I mean, she is phenomenal. I mean, I got a great wife out of it. And I mean, it's the best decision of surrender next to my surrender to Jesus that I've ever made. And for many of us that are going to get in the waters today, listen, Jesus, if there's anyone that you could attach your life to and publicly say, hey, I'm all in with you. I've made this decision in my heart, but Jesus, I am all in. I want to publicly declare that. Listen, Jesus is about the best person you could ever surrender to. Take a look at the screens. We've got a story here of one of the young ladies that got baptized in our first hour this morning. And it's a really cool story because it kind of walks through her journey toward Jesus and then ultimately her journey toward baptism.
I started coming to Crosspoint. I was invited by a neighbor in October and came to the first week and just kept coming. I didn't come with the intent to find a home church, if you will, or to keep coming week to week, but it very soon became the peak of my week. Back in October, there was a lot going on. I was dealing with a lot of just milestone moments in my life, a very monumental relationship ending. I was in the coursework of my thesis and my comps and working three jobs at the time and a single mom. So it was a lot of life in a very short time, and Crosspoint just really resonated with me. I still have a lot of the things that we did in service, a lot of the action items that we kept. I know one week we smashed the ornament and it was just empowering. So week to week, I found myself wanting to come back, wanting to go home and talk about what we learned with my family and wanting to essentially further my relationship with Christ. So I got pregnant at 16 and it was a high-risk pregnancy because I'm diabetic, but I ended up delivering at 25 weeks and his dad was not in the picture pretty much at all. And that's kind of a blessing in disguise, but it was just really hard to deal with at the time. I was one of the only people in school pregnant and learned very quickly that everyone has an opinion, everyone wants to share an opinion, and when you don't know where you stand at that crossroad, but you feel like you're being pushed in a variety of directions, it's really hard to make a decision. So ultimately, Caden was born at 25 weeks, like I mentioned, birth weight of 2 pounds, 2 ounces, and when I went into labor and got to the hospital, they actually said, you need to prepare yourself because this child is not going to live. And at that point, I kind of honestly just mentally disconnected from everything. I think I just kind of went into autopilot, and that was survival of the fittest to get through the situation. So he was born and each day got stronger and bigger and grew, and he's still here with us now. He's 8 years old and loves Crosspoint as much as I do, which is a beautiful thing to see. At 16, you can't really wrap your mind around what it means to parent. He's 8 now, I'm 26, and I still am figuring out this parent thing day by day. And we live at home with my parents, which is a huge blessing for me, but it's also hard to parent when you're being parented. So the past 10 years of my life, I've had to not only hold true to my goals, but also try to steer this kid down his path of goals, and it's just been a really tough thing. Went to IUPUI, completed my bachelor's degree, and decided got done in 2010, decided I should probably keep going. The economy was really in the dumps. So kept going, took some graduate classes and about 3 classes. And I said, you know, this is a lot of money. I should probably just go ahead and do it if I'm going to do it. So fast forward to October, I was in the middle of my comps, which are 6-hour exams you have to pass. They're pass fail. You fail, you don't get a master's degree. I was doing research for my thesis. For my thesis, I actually consulted for IUPUI and wrote them a proposal that they were going to implement. It was like a strategic plan. So just had a lot of pressure and was working 3 part-time jobs until one of the part-time jobs became a full-time job. And so now I work for the town of Fishers, which is been a wonderful experience, but at the time, having three jobs and having one of them become a full-time job and having a child who's actively involved in Boy Scouts and piano lessons and kind of working on this relationship with my parents where we all try to parent as a trio, it was a really difficult time. And then, like I mentioned, I went through a really, I would call it traumatic breakup. I didn't think we would break up, and then all of a sudden it was over, and it was over because I was busy, and I felt like I had to take a lot of the responsibility and why the relationship couldn't work because I wasn't willing to sacrifice my personal goals for someone else. Just a lot of struggle and a lot of inability. I felt like I didn't have the tools to cope with everything life threw at me. I was just kind of walking minute by minute, but there was no longer a light at the end of the tunnel. It was just pressure to keep going and to get these things off the task list. And that's kind of why I keep referring to Crosspoint as a beacon of hope, because it became the light at the end of the tunnel. It became the place where we would go, and every Sunday when the lights were down low and the music was up loud, I might shed a tear to myself, and there was comfort in that. There was comfort in being able to shed a tear in a place where I felt comfortable and accepted and even supported. Jesus has absolutely meant strength to me. Knowing that he's there has come to mean that walking in faith means you never walk alone. Whether you're walking alongside someone that's in the congregation, for lack of a better word, or you're walking alongside Jesus himself and through his experiences and through the scripture, it's very much meant strength and comfort for me. If I wake up in the middle of the night or I have a moment where I'm just really down, I usually find myself repeating, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I find solace in that, and that usually puts me back to sleep. Getting baptized this weekend is just an opportunity for me to celebrate the past 6 months that I've been walking on this journey and challenging myself and really rising to the occasion in my relationship with Jesus. It's just been something I've never experienced before, and I just finished my master's and I'm kind of getting some of these jobs off my plate. So it's finally at a time where I feel like I can make that a priority in my life, and I want to celebrate that. And I love the idea of an action that I'm always going to remember that's so powerful. I think it will stick with me forever.
Great, great story. Thank you, Casey, for sharing that today. You know, for Casey, this is just her next step in her spiritual journey. I mean, this journey God has taken, this story, if you will, that God is writing in her life. You see, one of the cool things about her story is that baptism isn't for perfect people. Baptism is for surrendered people. Baptism is for people who said, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm all in. It's the first act of surrender to the Savior who reached down and rescued us. Here's what Romans 6, it talks about baptism in this way. It says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. So yes, there's a dying to self that's represented today. There's a dying to one's agenda. There's a dying to, you know, the way you think your life needs to go. There's a dying to the things we think are going to quench our thirst. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. I love that phrase, newness of life right there, because people are going to be dying. But what are they dying to this morning? They're dying to trying to do life on their own. They're trying to go after the things that bring and fulfill the thirst, only to be left thirsty. And they're dying to the sense of brokenness in order that life might be whole. These are the things they're dying to, and they're receiving a newness of life. And so as they step into these waters today, they're saying, hey, I'm all in with Jesus. I mean, I want there to be an outward expression of something very personally that's taken place, this sweet surrender, this sweet exchange that's taken place in my life. And so the band's going to do some songs here in a moment, and we're going to have baptisms as these songs go. But here's the thing. No matter what brought you here this morning, I don't care how you came in, or if you came in knowing that we were doing baptisms today, or maybe you didn't know that baptism was happening here at Crosspoint today, I want you to consider whether today is the day that you get your wedding ring. I want you to consider whether today is the day for you to publicly declare this sweet exchange that's taken place between Jesus and you. And you might be thinking, well, Kurt, like, I didn't come prepared for that. I mean, how would I do that? I mean, I'm looking all good in my clothes. And well, here's the thing, man. We came prepared, even if you didn't. So we've got a team of people that are in the gymnasium ready with clothing and shorts and baptism t-shirts and undergarments and hair product, because you have to have product. You know, all kinds of things, you know, that will help you be able to take this step, if you feel inclined to do that, and still walk out in the same clothes you came in this morning. We don't want there to be any barriers on this today. All right, so let's stand, and I want to pray for us. God, right now, as we prepare to experience baptism, for some of us, there's some of us that are already preparing. We've already began to move out of the auditorium to get ready for baptism. There's others of us that you're going to call from our seats this morning. You're going to call from the place that we're standing right now because we hear your voice, because we're surrendered to you. And Jesus, you are a leader, you're a king, but you're also a shepherd. You're also a loving friend, and you're going to call some of us to this next step in our spiritual journey today. And God, I'm just excited about that. I'm excited about people who are going to say, you know, today's the day. Today's the day I'm getting my wedding ring. Today's the day I'm publicly declaring something that's taken place privately in my heart, and I'm publicly going to say, hey, I'm all in for Jesus. In fact, right now, God, I just want to pray in the name of Jesus that the power of the King will be on every single person in here today who's received your grace. And God, if there's anybody here today that is in relationship with you, that has received from you, that has not been baptized, God, I just pray that the power of your Spirit would move them to declare that today. God, that they would be able to declare, hey, I'm all in on this thing. We thank you for your grace and for your rescue in us. Well, listen, as we sing here in the next few moments, the waters are going to be open. Some of you are going to get in the waters today. Maybe you didn't come prepared for that. But if you have not moved already and you're planning to get baptized, you can move out the side of the auditorium right over here by these banners. John and Guy are going to help you out the doors. We've got a baptism team that will help you get ready and bring you back in for your baptism. You know, maybe you're still standing here and you're thinking, man, I always wonder if I need to take this step. Let me tell you what, you know, for some of you, this is not the day, all right? For those of you who are here for the first time or you're still exploring your faith, as I said earlier, today is not the day. I hope that you're encouraged by what you see today, all right? I hope that every time you see someone step in these waters and go down under the water, you realize that the symbolism of that is that there's been a life change, that Jesus is actually really who he says he is, and this person is saying, I'm all in with Jesus. There's a newness in my life, and I want to express that. You know, for others who maybe were baptized as a child, I mean, I have these conversations all the time. You're wrestling. You're like, do I get baptized again? Maybe you were baptized as an infant, and you're like, do I need to do it again? And here's what I would say to you. The choice is yours, all right? The choice is yours. If you feel like you're being nudged by God to do that, then move. Walk on out of the auditorium as we start singing, or even right now, you can move. And if you don't feel nudged, don't do it out of guilt, all right? Don't do it because, oh man, God's gonna be mad if I don't step in here. No, do it because you want to publicly declare there's been a sweet exchange that you have chosen for yourself, not your parents. You know, maybe others of us were baptized as an adult. Maybe a few years ago you were baptized, but you're thinking, man, I'm in a different place spiritually now. And so maybe I need to get baptized again today. And so here's what I would say to you. As a pastor, I would say, hey, the first time is stuck, all right? You're good, all right? You don't need to do this again. All right, again, back to the analogy of marriage, I'm married to my wife, and these rings represent that. And yet at the same time, there's days where there's a distance between us. There's days where we have arguments, and yet here's the beautiful thing. We're still married. Even in the midst of that, we're still married. So your baptism is stuck, all right? You don't need to do this again. Again, some of us as parents, you're sitting there thinking, man, I need to go get my kids out of kids' environments. I need to get them in the water. Well, listen, if your child has received Jesus, and they can understand what it means to follow him and what it means to receive his grace, and they say, yes, I'm all in with Jesus, then we would love to baptize your children today. But if they can't articulate that, then don't go get them, all right? Don't go get them out of environments just so you can get them in the water. Let it be their choice, all right? Let it be their choice. There'll be tons more of these, all right? We'll have a lot more. So I just encourage you, as we start to sing, if you get nudged, you can leave at any time. During any of the songs, I'm going to be in the pool the whole time. You can walk out the side of the auditorium, and maybe today's the day you get your wedding ring. So if you're prepared to be baptized, you can go ahead and move right now, and I will see you in the tub, and we're going to sing together and enjoy and celebrate what God's doing.